Hello, and welcome to this episode of EMS Now and Informa on Tour in Europe 2022. It is Friday night, the end of our second week here in Europe. We have arrived in Germany for a little respite before we hit the road again tomorrow. Today, we visited a very interesting company. Neither Dieter or I really knew much about them, so it was a great opportunity for us to get them to know them better. And this was the 11th EMS company out of 15 that we have planned that we toured on this tour. So we have four more to go, all of which will be in Germany. Before I begin, as always, I wish to say thank you to our event tour sponsors, those being CalcuQuote, Cogiscan, and Micronix. We thank them for their support in making this tour possible and allowing us to report out on all these many EMS to you. Let me tell you we met with ProDrive Technologies in Eindhoven, the Netherlands today. At the company, we actually were able to meet with four people. We met with Katja Panke. She's the Chief Development Officer for ProDrive Technologies. We also met with Justin Harwig. He's the Technical Director. Robert Puha, who's a Business Development Manager. And Marika Verspiek, who is the Global Marketing Manager. We were able to spend several hours with them. We were able to get into corporate overview from them, ask some questions, and then take a tour to really see the capabilities of the company. And as I think you will see through our conversation here, we were very, very impressed with the capabilities of this company. And again, you know, it was a bit of an unknown for both Dita and myself. Knew him by name, but not by capability. So let us tell you about those. So ProDrive Technologies, just brief history. They were founded in 1993 by two gentlemen. They were founded more as an OEM and an ODM at the time. They are privately owned, and the two founders still own a majority of the shares. The employees own some shares, and they also have another large investor. They are, at their core, a development company, and that is what the foundation of the company was based on. They then developed what they refer to as their CMS, or Contract Manufacturing Services business, about 10 years ago. So it's hard to break out, as we'll explain, some of these numbers. So these reflect the overall ProDrive Technologies. They have about 2,200 employees, of which 800 are engineers. And we'll touch back on, because that is a real strength of this company. In 2021, the corporation as a whole did about $304 million in revenue, of which about 40% is considered the CMS side of the business. Their manufacturing footprint is primarily in the Netherlands, in the Eindhoven kind of campus that we saw, because it's not one facility, it's a series of facilities in an area that we were able to see several of, not all. They also have manufacturing operation in China and also in the United States in the Boston area. Industry sector-wise, I think semicon is really their biggest sector, followed by the automotive sector, and then also business in medical, industrial, and the energy infrastructure. I would say they focus on kind of highly complex electronic products, and mostly they do full assembly that really leverages all of the capabilities of the corporation as a whole. Dita, an impressive company. The equipment that we saw in this company was mind-boggling. Tell me your impressions.
Well, first of all, as you said, ProDrive Technology has been in the past a black hole for me. Even so, they became a premium sponsor of our work last year, And I got a couple of numbers from them over the last 2 years. When we arrived there, we were finally shown their historic financial performance. And if you go back to 2013, they were doing 103 million in revenues. And over the following 8 years, on average, they grew by 24.4% every year. So that is so impressive that I asked this question, what is the secret about it? And I have to admit, the answer I got was quite smart. They said, you can grow that fast if you have the right customers.
Mm-hmm.
So we heard that before.
Yeah.
Staying very focused is something which gives you such a success. And that is definitely something which I consider a very interesting trend. But as you said, it is such a impressive factory which we saw, and you used me as your hard drive. Not just as your driver, but as your hard drive, because you wanted me to store all the information we saw on the shop floor.
Well, that's only because you probably understood the utilization of a lot of this equipment much better than I do.
Yes, it might have been the case, but that it was so much we saw that it was nearly really overflowing the hard drive I have. Just to mention a couple of things. Number one, they have a couple of equipment to measure electromagnetic compatibility, interference, radio interference, noise testing chambers. Then they do have even electronic micro. Electronic beam microscopes.
So but let's not minimize what we saw there.
Yeah.
We saw those four rooms that we saw that kind of lock and seal where they, to what you're talking about, that do the measurement in there. I've never been or seen, I've seen something like that on TV. I've never seen it in an actual company before.
Well,
measures the radiation in various things.
Europe, for example, a company like Siemens used to have such equipment when they were still manufacturing things themselves. Nowadays, they have more or less outsourced a lot of electronic manufacturing,
mm-hmm.
and with the outsourcing, they have given up all of this. And some of it has been taken over mm-hmm. here in Germany as well by EMS companies. But it's definitely not something which you can expect in a normal scale.
Right. And also from the SMT line perspective, what we saw there, we were impressed the other day when we saw inline testing.
Inline electrical testing, yes.
This time we saw inline flying probe.
Yes, well, that was one line. There was inline electrical testing. The difference to the one we saw the day before was that all these electrical testers were designed and manufactured by ProDrive themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They do not accept electrical test equipment from their customers. They clearly say they want to do that themselves because they think they are the experts and they have to guarantee quality afterwards. So they don't want to start blaming the test equipment of a customer afterwards.
Right.
Yeah. And that is a very interesting thing. And but on top of that, you had X-ray. Inline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so,
right. Yes. Yeah,
it was not just AOI and SPI and electrical testing and flying probe testing. It was X-ray as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it was depanelization as well, putting it all in package box. We saw that as well the day before as well. But still, it was very impressive and it was on eight lines we saw over there. And they have just done a huge extension, a huge additional building, which they are building up and will host another six new SMD lines. So this, we thought when we thought the tour was over, we thought we already saw something, but then they told us to jump into a car. And then they drove us over to another place. And there we saw the new built warehouse, which was impressive as well. And over there we saw a mechanical department. We saw, and I'm not gonna mention the brands of those Japanese machines, which were manufacturing, automatic CNC manufacturing of steel and aluminium parts, and that was more than 10 equipments.
Mm-hmm.
Before, not to forget, I had seen more than 8 plastic injection molding machines with a maximum capacity of up to 800 tons. So really have problems to get focused and stay in line here to tell the audience everything they do, but it is not just electronics manufacturing; it's mechatronics, and it is they do coil winding, and they do not just the normal coil winding. They do toroidal winding as well and more. And they do magnetic testing. They do linear motors and, well.
I mean, it goes on and on, right?
Yes, it goes on and on.
We are not going to remember everything, folks, that we saw today, because it was, I think we both, at the end of the tour and running around this campus, we just felt overwhelmed, right? It was just, it was so, so much. Oh, by the way, and also the wafer side, right?
Yes, well, that's maybe due to the fact that they are manufacturing equipments for the semiconductor industry and test equipment as well, optical testing equipment. I'm not mentioning the Israeli company which is doing the optical inspection for the semiconductor industry. But again, that was very, very impressive. And as I said before, most tools are developed in-house. They even make their for the solder paste printing.
Oh, the screen press.
They make
They make them themselves.
They the printing masks themselves, the stencils. I was looking for the right wording. It is already late, and therefore I'm probably having a problem with the speed of my brain.
This is true, and it may be a little bit the red wine that we just started enjoying as well. But listen, the other thing I wanted to mention is we also saw, so if you think in terms of volume, this can go from, because they do very high complex things. They can be kind of, you know, some, but the volumes, even on some of the big semiconductors, was like 1,000 a year, right? And then we saw that one line, it was for an automotive client.
Yes.
And it had, I think, 36 cells.
It was 36 cells, each cell equipped with a robot manufacturing the different, doing the different steps of the manufacturing, and the full 36 different robots made the full assembly of a product building a system.
And of that, I think it was over 450,000 units a year. And they're actually, we're installing another line just like it right by it.
Exactly. And next to that as well, we saw this huge automatic potting equipment for the big individual coils they manufacture as well. And they have a vacuum impregnation unit there standing as well. So all of that was very, very impressive. And not to forget their OSAT capabilities and chip-on-board technologies. And they have even started, and that might be interesting for some of the audience as well, they have started to work on direct copper bonding with putting MOSFETs on, which are used in the power electronics, and then doing wedge bonding with strong aluminium wires. All of that they do themselves.
You know, I'm just thinking too. They do all this, and if you as we went through, and we went through many levels of the building. I mean, we were up and down, all over the place. There, it was a heck of a workout, by the way. They also have a strong software team, and that software team. So their ERP, and they have all this internally developed programs. So their ERP, the MES, all of that. Some of the programs that they have to manage their lines directly, yes, are all internally developed by their software and custom built.
Yeah,
that way.
Well, it starts with their manufacturing execution system, as their MES systems, which they have self developed. But then they have as well, which we were shown as well, what they call a resource and responsibility matrix, which shows you the education, the roles, the competences, and the software tools every employee has. And they can just look at it and see if they see something which they think isn't wrong, they go on the computer, check who is responsible. And you need to have that. If you were a small company with 100, you probably still need that. But with their size, you better make sure you have all of that information on the system. And all of this information is developed by themselves. And I get the feeling that is a general strategy. They prefer to develop everything in-house to keep control.
Yeah, and it's also within that system, you're right, quite impressive, because it also put the restrictions. If you're not allowed to use this particular type of equipment, it says it right in there. It's in the system. You can go to that equipment. You won't be able to use it. You won't be able to gain access to certain things based on your profile.
Yeah, even a simple automatic screwdriver, you cannot handle it if the system tells you he has not been trained to use it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, the other thing that struck me as I went through is A, this is highly automated, so low touch, right? And as we walk through and on the lines, you simply don't see that many people. Now, there's a lot of development stuff going on, so you do absolutely see people. The other thing that struck me on this is it was a young workforce, right? We saw a big issue within the electronics industry, especially with the CMS, EMS industry, is kind of, it tends to be an older industry, and it's been a challenge to attract young people to it. But they, as you walk around everywhere, it is a young, energized workforce, and they have all these tools. So it's got to be a cool place to play. I asked him about that, and he said, yeah, it's kind of, you get the engineers from the schools because this is kind of a playground for them.
Thank you very much for reminding me of that, Eric. You're really smart on this one as well, because when I walked the floor, it reminded me how old I am.
Yeah, that did stand out, Dita. It was pretty apparent, you know. It was, you know, live your life right or you end up like this, right? So, you know, we could go on and on. But what I would say, the other thing that I would mention that was a little unusual was the roof tour, right? We actually went up on the roof of the manufacturing facility, which was several floors up. And we walked around the outside. And from there, they were pointing out the various different facilities, because they have kind of a campus strategy there where they bring it all together and they do it that way. So that was very unique. We took some pictures from up there and it was pretty cool. Bottom line, they are very selective with who they choose to engage with, because they want somebody who appreciates what they do, has the right technology. They definitely have growth plans ahead, both as an overall corporation part of that then is also the success of the CMS division that they've developed. Any final thoughts on it, Dita?
Well, I was impressed as well of their automated transportation systems, which they developed themselves. They call them Broom. And I suppose it is coming from Broomfietsen.
Which means very little to most people listening, but it's an interesting character, and we saw the picture of it.
You need to have been visiting the Netherlands before, and specifically the North Brabant area, which... Hey,
by the way, and you make a good point, in closing, we should say something about the cluster and what is Eindhoven, the Netherlands. There is so much there from both an EMS, but also from a technology center for that part of the country.
Well, it's not by accident that the two biggest EMS company, Newways and ProDrive Technologies, are located in the Eindhoven area, which is a real technology cluster in the North Brabant area. And Philips already used to be there many years ago, and Philips has transferred a lot of their business to outsourcing companies. Yeah. So today, this is, I would nearly go as far to say, this is the brain of the Netherlands.
Yeah, no, I mean, there is a cluster there. We didn't get into the sizing of the EMS industry in the Netherlands and all that, and I won't ask you about that now, but Dita has committed to providing me for a write-up that we'll do subsequent to the to our tour once it's completed and I recover from having spent 3 weeks in a car with Dita. And you know that we will do a write-up of our impressions on some of the trends, what we've seen, and within that we'll also, for each of the countries that we visited, Dita will provide some very current data on what the size of the EMS within that particular industry. And I should say it was very interesting to see, as we were talking in our meeting today with ProDrive, Dita actually updated his slide, and when he came time to, or his database, which fed into a slide that we were doing, that he presented, you know, a short time later, and the revision date on it was today, and he said, this was just updated based on the information you gave me. So I think, again, which is why I'm a big fan of Dita and the work that he does for the industry. So anyway, we will be presenting some of those information to you in the final write-up that we do. What to expect now, folks? We have four EMS to visit in Germany. Dita and I will, we're even visiting one Saturday, actually, which is tomorrow. And then we will see two more. We'll see some on Monday. Then we'll end up at Electronica next week. And then the fun really begins. So, Dita, this was a great tour. By the way, how many miles have we driven to date, do you think?
I don't know how many miles we drove today, we drove this week. We drove about 2,400 kilometers, and if we add about another 800 to 900 kilometers in Sweden, we are now already. Geez, that's difficult. 3,200 to 3,300, and we are not finished yet. When we end the tour in Munich, it's going to be 4,000 kilometers.
Yeah, so, and I'll just say in closing, and I said it jokingly to Dita the other night, I don't know any other two crazy bastards in this industry that would take this on and do this. And so, Dita, I thank you for your friendship. I thank you for your good humor. I thank you for helping to organize all this, and I thank you for going on this adventure with me. I think it's been a great learning experience. So y'all stay tuned. We'll be coming back at you with more as we continue our journeys. So thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.